I'm the executive director. This place has been a very, very loyal congregation for over 30 years to Anchor Point. And currently, Brian Gongaware is on our board. Dick Bruckman is on our board. Many, many of you contribute to this place financially. Many of you give books. Our book sale was tremendous this year. We raised over $26,000, and we thank you for donating and for buying books. Our golf tournament this past month over at Wildwood, we raised over $40,000, and many of you played. I want to thank you. And we pulled in the Churchgoers Cup again, the Klaus family, and we appreciate that. We're holding on to that cup. I think we hold the cup record now, I think. I think we have 7 victories out of 22 years. And so it's between us and Highland right now. But a big thank you for this church. I've been here a long time, and the support of this church for Anchor Point and for me personally is very helpful. The counseling ministry is an intense ministry, and we do a lot of counseling with youth families, marriage counseling. We do tutoring with kids from first grade through 12th grade, and we do a lot of parent education work. And the ministry has been alive now for 47 years, and this church is one of the mainstays for supporting it. This coming month, October 24th, it'll be in the communicator. We're having a gala, our first gala, up at Lamont Restaurant on the 24th in the evening, and it's a celebration of hope, and we're honoring individuals who provide hope, families who provide hope, businesses who provide hope, and a church that provides hope. And this church was honored this year, the first year of the gala, to be the church that provides a lot of hope for the community. So hope you would consider coming. It's going to be a nice event. Larry Richard, we were able to get Larry Richard to come to be the MC, who does a fine job. And we just hope it'll be a hopeful evening. So again, thank you so much to this congregation. Would you pray with me, please? Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was an Anglican rector at the Westminster Chapel in London, in his book, The Sermon on the Mount, comments on Matthew 5:3 about what poverty of spirit means. He writes, and listen carefully, "You see, what a complete misunderstanding of this first beatitude is often revealed by people. As I am going to show you, we are not looking at men confronting one another, but we are looking at men face to face with God. And if anyone feels anything in the presence of God save utter poverty of spirit, it ultimately means that you have never faced him. That is the meaning of this beatitude." Well, it would appear then that for the Christian, that we are to live a life of being poor in spirit. But what is the blessing that comes with this perplexing Christian identity? Last weekend, I attended the Pitt-Duke football game at Duke University. And coincidentally, Dr. Willie James Jennings, an associate professor of theology and black church studies at Duke University Divinity School, and a Baptist minister to boot, and I met. In talking about my sermon and preparation, he stated to me, "Ron, there is always a before and after. God will not abandon you, but await your repentance and your turning again to the way of faith. God is the God of the again and the again, always wishing to bring us to an after we have fallen, after the disappointment, after the hurt. But there will be an after, because God is forever faithful." Well, truthfully speaking, I did not run into Dr. Jennings when I was in fact, there at Duke University, however, beautiful campus, last weekend I was there, but I do agree with what Dr. Jennings said, and I can affirm that statement. You see, for me, beginning to understand the God of the again and the again and his desire to bring us to the after out of our poverty began as a result of a soccer injury in my senior year of high school. My soccer injury healed, but I would never be the same. And when I went to college at Gordon College, a Christian liberal arts college just north of Boston, it happened all over again, and it was not due to an injury. It was because I met other Christians who talked about their need for Jesus. I was invited into a group of four guys, two seminarians, and two undergraduates to be in a small support group that met every other week. And this was a totally new experience for me. It's one that I've engaged in for the last 30 years, however. They shared their deep hurts, and they demonstrated their vulnerability. My classmates would share their shortcomings. They would express that they needed prayer to help them with a specific relationship, with feeling lonely, with a lack of motivation to study, with keeping their faith, and they needed prayer to overcome temptations of a typical undergraduate and perhaps seminary student. This was such a different reality for me. I was basically trained to show all my strengths to people, not my weaknesses, not my needs, not those areas where I lacked confidence or lacked whatever. This was the Christianity I began to experience, and it was a very freeing time for someone who was indoctrinated to always be strong. Christianity is full of paradoxes. I have read a lot of writings now over the past several years by Henry Nouwen, who was a Catholic priest, professor, psychologist, author, and servant of Jesus Christ. He writes about poverty fairly often, and his description is a very different take on poverty. He encourages us to share poverty, to share our poverty as a richness. Nouwen states that each of us, every human being, has a place of poverty. He states that our ongoing spiritual growth is very connected to asking ourselves, what is my poverty? Is it a lack of financial resources, a lack of emotional stability, lack of a loving partner, lack of security, lack of safety, lack of self-confidence? Is it too much pride? Is it a physical disability, a chronic illness? Is it keeping God at bay? Nouwen goes on to say that it is in our poverty, in our individual areas of our neediness, that is where God wants to dwell with us and not abandon us. Our spiritual growth and closeness to Jesus depend on our being open about our needs as well as our joys. In Psalm 34:19, Bob read, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves." And again in Matthew 5:3, we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And now in goes on to say that we are so inclined to cover up our poverty and ignore it that we often miss the opportunity to discover God who dwells there. And it is from our poverty, that is our need, that we become blessed by God as we come to him in our brokenness. I personally have the opportunity to be with many people in their poverty, their brokenness, through Anchor Point's counseling ministry. And it is usually through their trials and tribulations that people eventually come to a much richer understanding of life, what Christ calls our blessedness. Nouwen states, "The vision offered by Jesus stands in sharp contrast to the worldly vision of hiding our human brokenness, our poverty, and seeking the goal of happiness in life. Jesus shows us, both in his teachings and in his life, that true joy, our inner happiness, often is hidden in the midst of our sorrow, and that the dance of life finds its beginnings in our grief. I don't believe God wants us to suffer. Inevitably, though, suffering visits each of us through different circumstances and sometimes by our own doing. In the counseling process, those clients who face their suffering, their poverty, and do not hide are the ones who are blessed with a deeper awareness of themselves, and they experience an understanding of the healing process in life. They become blessed whether they acknowledge God for the blessing or not. Now, in further states, as disciples of Jesus, we are sent to wherever there is poverty, where there is loneliness and suffering of any kind. We are given the courage to be with suffering people. We can trust by entering into places of pain that we will find the joy of Jesus. What I believe Nouwen is telling us is that it is out of our poverty and the poverty of others that we experience Christ's compassion, his compassion for each of us in our respective poverty situations, enables us to have compassion and be with others in their poverty, in their neediness. Our poverty, our neediness, and the poverty of others is what builds closeness, caring, and community. Nouwen has a way of confronting the reader, and one of his confrontations reads like this: as long as we relate primarily to one another's wealth, health, stability, intelligence, and strength, we cannot develop true community. Community is not a talent show in which we dazzle the world with our combined gifts. Community is the place where our poverty is acknowledged and accepted, not as something we have to learn to cope with as best we can, but as a true source of new life. There is a profound richness discovered in our poverty, and that richness is that we grow closer to Christ, and the church becomes more of what it is intended to be, a place for what Dr. Jennings called the after, where we find our God who heals us and gives us renewed hope because, as Dr. Jennings said, he is a faithful God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you that you dwell with us in our times of need, in our times of sorrow, and that it is at those times that we learn to depend on you. And we realize that, as Sherry sang earlier, that in your face, when we confront you, we realize our utter poverty compared to you. And we thank you for the gift that you give us of our knowledge and our deep relationship with you. Give us understanding, Lord, and help us to understand the Scripture, to understand it and apply it to our everyday life. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.